Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through Him. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men and women. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became one of us and moved into our communities. And knowing that His hour had come, He rose from the supper table, laid aside His outer garments, wrapped a towel around His waist, poured water into a basin, got down on His knees, and one by one washed the disciples' feet. He loved them to the end, and we beheld His glory. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that Jesus would be glorified among us. And Lord, we pray, Father, that His life would be known in us. Amen. Please be seated, and good morning, and welcome to you all. So we're continuing our Summer Sundays theme, which you know is the Servant King. And today I'm going to be looking at how the word servant and the word king go together. You know, how the towel here and the crown, the towel down there and the crown up here go together. How the basin and the throne go together. And just to see how Jesus redefined greatness in the earth. Because that's what He did. He redefined greatness. And we'll consider that when we're just looking at this whole scene that's been portrayed before us of Jesus washing the disciples' feet in that scene that became known as the Last Supper. And this whole foot-washing scene actually is probably the most widely known in the ministry of Jesus. And it's a great sign. It's a symbolic act revealing the very heart of God. The very heart of God. And so the character of our lives, so the character of the Christian life is revealed in that act. For we all become like our King. And in the foot-washing act, it summarizes really the Lord's life, the whole of His life and His ministry on earth. So He was born a king. He was born a king, but He came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. See, He turned the world upside down. Jesus, the Lord, the very Son of God, God Himself in human flesh, takes up the towel. Now, in the ancient world, the towel was the badge, the great badge of slavery. And God Himself took that towel up. This act reveals to us, certainly to me, and I'm sure to you, deep truth about God the Father, and about God the Son, and about God the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus does in this foot-washing act creates at least two major changes in our understanding of greatness. The first has to do with what it means to be Lord, that is to be King. Secondly, has to do with what it means to love God, to love the Lord. And we'll come back to that, and the children so well demonstrated for us the verse. And of course those roads in the ancient world, early Palestine, were very dusty roads, dirty indeed. And all they wore was very simple sandals in those days. Just a flat sole with a few straps around them to hold onto their feet. Great example here on the screen. And beside the doorway of most homes was this bowl and a towel, as you'd heard, so that a servant could wash your feet as an act of hospitality on your arrival. And most homes had that bowl and that towel there. Now, on the evening before Jesus' crucifixion, He gathered the disciples in this upper room to celebrate a meal, to celebrate Passover, and no one had carried out this act of hospitality. No one. And understandably so, because it was truly a humbling act and a humbling experience, and so menial, in fact, that the act was listed on the list of tasks that no Jewish slave was required to do. Some of them did it, but they weren't required to do it. So menial was it. And you'll probably remember too that during this time, and we understand this from the other gospel accounts, that the disciples were in fact arguing over who was greatest and who would be greatest in the kingdom that the Lord was ushering in. And you remember the sons of Zebedee and their mother? Oh Lord, one on the right, one on the left in the kingdom. That'd be wonderful. And so that really upset the rest of the disciples, as you know. But their imaginations would have been alive with dreams of thrones, of power, and of dominion. So in such a setting, who among the disciples would assume such a role, such a menial role? Who would wash the dinner guests' feet, as was custom? No one. No one, not one of the disciples would. No one would. Except who? Kids, except who? Jesus. Lord Jesus, God in human flesh, did it. So Jesus arises from the table and he begins, one by one, to wash the disciples' feet. This is no isolated act, by the way. What Jesus does simply dramatizes what he's been doing all the way along in his life and ministry. It speaks of his whole life and ministry, in fact, on earth. It's a bit of a cameo, I suppose you could put it, of his journey from the Father to the world and back to the Father. It sums up everything, really, and we read it, and when we read that account, we can see it. See, Jesus rose from the table, just as he arose from his eternal throne. Jesus laid aside his outer garments, just as he laid aside his entitlements and his privileges as the eternal Son in the heavenly realm. Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist, just as he wrapped himself in our humanity, became flesh and blood, our flesh and blood. See, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, performing the lowest and most menial task, just like the next day when he would go to the cross and die the most degrading, the most humiliating death, even death on the cross. Took the lowest place, the place of utter shame. That was the place of utter shame in the ancient world. To be hanging on a Roman cross, Jesus took that position for us, serving us. Then when he had finished washing the feet, what did he do? He rose up, put his garments back on, and he returned to that seat of honour. Just like when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And he was risen from the grave. Father, he was risen. The Father rose him, brought him to life, and seated him at his Father's right hand, the highest place of honour. This is just a wonderful insight into the very heart of God. But there's a redefinition of greatness here, a huge redefinition of greatness and of kingship and what it meant in the earth. So let's look now at our first change in understanding of greatness. And it'll come up on the screen over here. So Jesus' actions reveal Jesus' understanding of what it means to be Lord, to be King. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet." Lord, the Lord of the universe, wash your feet. See, from a human perspective, washing feet is beneath the dignity of any lord or lady or king or queen. From a human perspective, it's an utter contradiction. But Jesus' actions reveal foot washing is not a contradiction of his identity. It is because he is Lord, because he is the King, that he does what he does, wash dirty feet. See, Peter was horrified, absolutely horrified. You shall never wash my feet, says Peter. And those words of Peter actually echo. You remember back in Caesarea Philippi when Jesus said to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and die? And you remember Peter sternly objected at that point. God forbid this should ever happen to you. Go to Jerusalem and die. And you remember Jesus' reply. He said, Peter, you do not have in mind the things of God, but of humans. And again here in the upper room, Peter wants Jesus to fit into his human understanding of greatness, what royalty and dignity and honour is all about. And so Peter says, you, Lord, shall never wash my feet. See, Peter sees this great contradiction. Shameful act. Lords do not wash feet. Oh, yes, they do. They do. The King of the universe washes feet. And so Jesus profoundly alters our perception of divinity. See, we think to be God is to be high above all and to have billions of willing servants looking after him. But that's not true. He serves. He is the servant of all. He loves all, he serves all, and he's faithful to all that he's created. And he serves us in whatever way is needed for us to live. Because he's king over all, he serves all. So Jesus in this foot washing act is actually doing what he has done throughout all of eternity. Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the way that they've lived together. They've honoured one another, they've loved one another, they've served one another. There's no selfish or fallen human idea of hierarchy or of position. Not after position, but after life. Huge change in thinking about what greatness really means. The second change, major change in understanding of greatness, has to do with what it means to love the Lord. So we've got another slide there. What it means to love the Lord, to love God. What does it mean to love God? And we read up there the verses. Do you understand what I've done for you? Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Amazing. Wash one another's feet. You've got to be kidding, Lord, would have been the response from the disciples. You've got to be kidding. But listen again. What we expect to hear is, since I, the Lord, have washed your feet, you should wash my feet. What I do for you, you do for me. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Now, if the Lord had said that, those disciples would have fallen over themselves to be the first to wash the feet of God because of what they might be able to get out of that. They might have got a position at the right or the left hand. They might have had some glory, some reward from it. But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, wash my feet. His feet don't need washing. He said, you ought to wash one another's feet. Not just to wash the feet of the rich and the famous. Not just to wash the feet of those who are celebrities among us. But to wash one another's feet. And I love this quote from Leslie Newbegin, and you'll need to keep it in context, but it's a wonderful quote. It'll come up on the screen there from Leslie Newbegin, a British theologian and missionary. Jesus has laid aside his life for us all, and the debt which we owe to him is now to be discharged in our subjection to our neighbour in loving service. Our neighbour is the authorised agent, is the agent authorised to receive what we owe to the Master. Wonderful. Put even more plainly, love God and love neighbour. Love God, love one another. And so the person next to you, the person next to me, has been appointed. So where you're sitting now, the person next to you has been appointed to receive what we owe the Master. To receive the affection that we want to pour out on Jesus. They've been appointed to receive that affection. So what does that mean, like in our families, for example? Well, my wife Sue, who's here, is appointed to receive the affection I want to pour out on the Lord. I wash Jesus' feet by washing hers. That is, by loving her. I lay my life down for Jesus by laying it down for her. And my children and their spouses, my grandchildren, are the appointed agents authorized to receive what I owe Lord Jesus. Amazing. I wash his feet by washing their feet. We wash Jesus' feet by washing one another's feet. Well, not literally. Jesus is not talking necessarily literally, but by serving one another. That is, by loving one another, by caring for one another, by honouring one another. See, children, the way that you love the Lord, children, the way that you love the Lord and serve the Lord is by loving and honouring and obeying your parents. They are to receive what you owe the Lord Jesus. And this is how you serve, by serving the other, rightly given for your care. So what does it mean for each of us, say, in the church community or in a community? What does it mean to wash one another's feet? Well, your and my demonstration of our love for the Lord is worked out in our serving of one another. So I wonder how you are serving others. And we need to see that serving, there's many, many ways to serve. Many ways. And John and Val and the team, the communion team here, have laid these tables out for us. They've washed our feet by laying these out. We'll be using those later. And of course, the music team, parking, many teams that serve and bless in different ways. But you know, serving is much, much wider than we often think. See, we serve by simply taking time to listen to someone. Listen to them. By taking interest in them, by smiling, by talking to them, by welcoming one another, by being hospitable. Not just welcoming friends, not just our friends, but welcoming one another. You know, by being thoughtful and so on. A great list of things. We're all called to serve. That's what that means. We're all called to serve. When we think of serving in a bigger dimension, a bigger perspective of what serving is. And in serving one another, we're demonstrating and we're working out our love for Jesus. For we ultimately are doing it unto him. And whenever you serve, you'll find that Jesus has gone there first. He is the great server. And he brings us into what he is doing and we discover him in the midst of it. He is our life and we serve him. Now, Jesus just made, I've just got to finish with this, but Jesus made this wonderful, wonderful statement in Matthew 25. And this is Jesus speaking. Great to listen. Then the king will say, this is at the end of the age. Then the king will say, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance prepared for you. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, but when did we see you a stranger and invite you in? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you, the king will reply, truly, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. See, we are his body in the earth, empowered by the Spirit, the very life of God. We are one with him in his life, living out his life in the earth. We are so joined to him that we, in serving one another, we're serving the living God in the earth. And just in closing, it's just good to notice what Jesus says in verse 10. He says this, our whole body does not need to be washed, but only our feet. You know the verse. This is because Jesus is not merely talking about hygiene. He's talking about holiness. He's talking about our well-being, our whole well-being, body, soul and spirit, our health. And in our serving, you know, we cannot save one another. We cannot save one another. Only Jesus saves. And only Jesus can save. But you know what? We need one another on the way. On the journey of the Christian life, many of you know, have walked for many years, but you know that our feet get dusty and dirty with the issues of this life. We know it so well with the challenges and the difficulties we face. We need one another for our well-being and our health. We are made to be together in community and so to wash one another's feet, you know, by forgiving one another, by not holding bitterness in our hearts towards others, by being kind to one another, by being peacemakers, by being reconcilers, by desiring right relationships in the body, by loving one another, by rightly ministering to one another's needs, and summed up in by serving one another. And so the foot washing act symbolically speaks of the character of life that is and should be increasingly evident among us if we're in Christ. We don't lord it over one another, but serve one another. And as we do, we're serving the Lord. And you know, love God, love neighbour. They go together. You can't separate them. It's a seamless life of God in our midst. What a wonderful thing to know that we're one with him and we're in his life and we're living the very life of God in our midst in human flesh, just like he did. We won't be perfect like he was perfect, but he has brought us into that same life. So let's just pause and still our hearts and let the Lord speak to you. If there are things you'd like to speak to him about, then do that just in this moment. There's a wonderful scripture, and you know it was read out earlier on in the service from Philippians. But let this wash over you. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.